Rav Shuss, Rabbi Cohen, Night Seder Rebbeim. Beautiful call that's here tonight. 2 weeks ago, Rabbi Schnall discussed the importance of Musar. But the idea behind Musar is not just to hear Divrei Musar, to hear Divrei Tochacha, to read Divrei Musar, but Rabbi Schnall talked about you have to really internalize and actualize the lessons and the messages that we hear from our Rebbeim. We have to work at it, make it a lemaisa. And last week, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, he discussed how the world is filled with others. And Bein Adam L'Chaveiro dictates that we need to reach out to the others that are around us. There's only one of us, but so many of others. And we have to work to reach out to those who are around us. And I thought it was so beautiful that Rav Moshe Tzvi began his remarks by quoting Rav Schnall, reiterating his point, and building upon it. I felt that it would be appropriate for me to do the same, to reiterate the points that Rav Schnall made, that Rav Moshe Tzvi made, and to build a little bit upon it. So Musar, Divrei Musar. The Mishle tells us, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Yiras Hashem, Reishis Das. Chachma u'musar avilim bazu. Yiras Hashem reishis das. I heard pshat from my uncle, from Ben Tzion Kermeyer, Talmud of Rabbi Cohen, Shlita. He explained, what's das? Das is knowledge. That's true. But das is also from the Lashon of Chibur. V'adam yodas chava, man nu chava, mechubar techava. Das means chibur. What's das? It's knowledge, but it's knowledge that is mechaber us, that grounds us and connects us to reality. It's a reality that's supposed to be shaped by Yiras Shamayim. A reality that's shaped by Torah Mitzvos. That's das. Das is my identity of who I am in this world, functioning as a person who lives through Yiras Shamayim and through Shmiras Mitzvos. And what's an Evil? Evilim Bazu. The Evilim don't like this. They reject and scorn Chachma Musar. What's an Evil? What's an Evil? So he quoted, my uncle quoted from his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzarek Levracha. Rav Moshe said that Evil has the same shorish as Iva, Ava, Aleph, Vav, Hey, which means to want, desire, Iva Lamosh of Love. An Evil is a person who lives life married to his wants and his desires, not grounded to the reality of Da'as and Yiras Shamayim. Nevi'el lives with his fantasies, and so therefore, he's going to reject and scorn Musar, because Musar is the undertaking to make sure that we apply, our Da'as should be formed and applied to our Yiras Shamayim and to our Shmiras HaMitzvos. And he doesn't want that. He wants his desires. He wants his Taivas. And so therefore, he does not want Musar. And our goal for Musar is to work at making sure we live a life that applies our Yiras Shamayim, that grounds us to the reality of a life of Yiras Shamayim Torah Mitzvos. And this requires a lot of work. This is not something that's simple. And I'd like to develop this idea of Musar specifically through the prism of Hisaru Bechod Chavreicha, that we have to be so careful with the kavod of our Chaver. It's from a Gemara on Daf Chavches, on a Beis, Rabbi Elazar Gadol, he's slipping away, he's sick. In moments he will no longer be in this world, and his Talmidim are scared. They're losing their Rebbe, they're losing their guide, they're feeling lost, and they turn to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, teach us something, a golden rule, a derech achayim, so we can be zolche to chayim olababa. And Rabbi Elazar turns to him, and among other things he says, Yizaru b'chol chavreichem, be careful about the kavod of your chaver, of your colleagues, of your friends, of the people around you. How careful we have to be about how we act and interact and how that impacts the people around us. Bein b'dibor, bein b'maisa. With a kind word, we can build people. But with a harsh word, we can really tear people down. We need to be so careful. And this requires a lot of work. Amelus, Musar. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, famous Gemara, teaches us, we know the Gemara says, if I have a choice, I have a friend who needs help. His animal is burdened under a load. And he's a good friend of mine. And there's an issue of Tzar Ba'al Chayim. As the Gemara says in that line, it's Doraisa. And the animal needs help. We need to unload the animal. At the same time, there's also somebody I dislike. Someone who rubs me the wrong way. Someone who I can't stand. And he also needs help. He needs help loading his animal. That would normally come secondary to helping someone unload an animal. But here, things are not equal. One person you like, one person you don't. What is the Gemara Paskin? You help the Sone first. Even though there's Tzar Ba'al Chaim involved with the other person. But you help the Sone first. Why? Kedei Lokof his Yitzra. In order to be Meshabeger, your Midos. To overcome your Yetzirah. Because it's so easy to be a Baal Ches with someone that you like. You enjoy giving to him. You want to give to him. It makes you happy. So that make you have emes Baal Chesed? What about when it's not so easy? What about when you don't really want to help the person? Do you still help? So you help the person you don't like. Lokof his Yitzra, Rav Moshe, and his Drash Moshe echoes the same thought in this week's Parsha. Truma. V'yikhuli truma meis kolish asher yedvenu libot yikhu es truma si, the Pasuk says. And the Mefarshim all ask, why does the Pasuk use the Lashon of Kicha? Kicha sounds like something you do by force. I take from you. You don't want to give it to me, I'll take it. I'll grab it from you. Kicha. But we're talking about the building of the Mishkan. And Klal Yisrael gave generously, happily. They were throwing money at Moshe Rabbeinu. This was a fundraiser's dream. You don't have to beg. You don't have to make phone calls. Please come and give a few dollars. Throw in the money. Divoser. So what's Kicha? Says Rav Moshe, the Lashon Kicha here is because when it comes to the mitzvah tzedakah, when it comes to the mitzvah of chesed, gemilas chasadim, it can't be done perfunctorily. It has to come from an inner feeling of nedivah slave. It has to come from a desire to want to give. It can't be just because I have to, because I'm expected to, because I need to. It has to come from inside. And so v'yichul yitruma means that whether you wanted to give or you didn't want to give, you took a kicha, you grabbed your yetzahar and you worked on yourself so that you gave in a nedivah slave. And everyone gave in a nedivah slave. They worked on their midos. And it took a lot of work. But that's what we have to do. And it doesn't come easily. Rav Volpe writes in his Kuntra Chasanim, in the shluzim that he gave to Chasanim, which Baruch Hashem I've had the zuchus to learn with many bachrim here. And Rav Volpe writes an astounding line. He says, no dala emes. He says, admit the truth. Look in the mirror. How many of us have really changed our midos? How many of us have really changed our tchunas hanefesh? You know, we are a certain way, and we continue to be a certain way. He says, that's the reality. And even those of us in this room, Bali Aliyah, come to your Musa Shmuz, and we work on ourselves, but still there are dargos. There's a Baal Chesed, and there's a Baal Chesed. There's someone who loves Klal Yisrael, and there's someone who really loves Klal Yisrael. There are levels of midos. How many of us are coming constantly to work on a deeper and a more refined level? I can just picture myself. I reflect on my own midos. One little window into that. Most of my life, I thought I was a fairly patient person. I worked on it, wanted to be patient. When I was teaching in classrooms or tutoring people, and they don't understand, the student doesn't understand, you explain it again, they still don't understand, you explain it a different way. You remain calm, different things are coming at you at the same time. I was able to handle it without getting ruffled. Fairly patient person. Asked people around me, they would say, Eli Bacon, fairly patient guy. Fast forward many years, Baruch Hashem Zochet, to have a number of children. I can see myself, there in my house, and some older children, some younger children, they're all asking something at the same time, but they're catching and whining and pulling on me, and I'm on the phone call with a delicate phone call that needs my attention, and someone's knocking on the door, and no one's bothering to get it, and you're looking at Eli Bacon, and he's not the picture of patience anymore. They're darkness and patience. It was not a beautiful moment. Thank God, no one from the outside was in the house. Because they're levels. And what sufficed at one darga, what darga sufficed at one level of life, one stage in life, is not going to last and carry you through other stages. And you have to work. You have to put a malice into it. Dr. Twersky tells a beautiful story about his great-great-grandfather. I don't know how many greats are in it, but there are a lot of greats. Dr. Twersky talks about the Chernobyl Rebbe, of Nachum Chernobyl, the Me'orei Naim, the great Me'orei Naim. This was his great-great-great-great-grandfather. And after he passed away, the Rebbetzin told a certain Maisa, a famous Maisa, she told over to Reb Baruchel, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And she told him the following thing. She said, you know, as you're aware, We were very, very, very poor. We had no money in the house, no change, nothing. Many nights, the kids went to sleep hungry. Many nights, we went to sleep freezing because there wasn't even enough money to buy simple firewood to heat the home. And there were times where I turned to my husband, she said, and he had a pair of very, very precious tefillin. They were written by Ephraim Sofer. And he was a very chosh of a mensch. The Baal Shem Tov said he was a Sofer of a darga, just the low, the level low, the Ezra Sofer himself. These were very precious tefillin. And the Rebbe would turn to the Moranayim, she'd say, maybe we should sell the tefillin. There was a very wealthy man in town, and he offered 50 rubles for this pair of tefillin. 50 rubles is a fortune of money. Could support the family for years. She said, with 2 rubles, you'll buy a beautiful pair of tefillin. And with the rest, we'll be able to be like basic mention. And he said, it's non-negotiable. It's a non-starter. These tefillin are so precious, and they're an heirloom in this family. It's not for sale. And she accepted it. At one point, they even took in the niece of the Rebbetzin, and they were raising her, Malkala, and she turned, the Rebbetzin turned to the Moranayim and said, you know, she's a Yesoma, that's why we've brought her into our house. We're going to have to marry her off someday. We don't have any money to marry her off. She's a Yesoma, who's going to marry her? What kind of dowry can we afford? So are we going to sell the tefillin then? And he said, yes, we'll sell the tefillin to marry off Malkala. That gave some Yishuv Hadas to the Rebbetzin. One day, the Moranayim was very sad. It was Erev Sukkos, and there was not a Dalad Minim to be gotten in all of the town. And it was very sad. It's Sukkos, he's not going to have Dalad Minim. Pained him a lot. And he was walking outside on Erev Sukkos and sees in the distance a Yid is walking carrying a beautiful set of Dalad Minim. He runs up to the Yid and he says, those are gorgeous Dalad Minim. Will you sell that? And the Yid looks at the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry, but this is not the Dalad Minim you can afford. The wealthy man here in town is going to buy this Dalad Minim for 50 rubles. So the Moranayim says, stay here, don't move. And he runs home, and he grabs the tefillin, and he goes to the wealthy man, and he sells to the wealthy man the tefillin for 50 rubles, and he runs back to the guy with the Dalad Minim, and he pays 50 rubles for this Dalad Minim. And he's ecstatic. The simcha is radiating on his face, and he goes back home, and he puts away the Dalad Minim, and his wife sees him, and she says, well, what's going on? The Hadras Panim was so clear. He was aglow. And he kind of evades the question. And she pushes him. What's going on? What's going on? She said, well, I have Dalad Minim. She says, how do you have Dalad Minim? There's no Dalad Minim here. And even if you could find Dalad Minim, we couldn't afford a Dalad Minim. He evades the question again. And she pushes and pushes. And finally he admits. He tells the whole Maisa. He sold the tefillin for the Dalad Minim. And her jaw dropped. And she said, I don't understand. The kids are hungry. It was non-negotiable. We have no heat. Malkala needs to be married off. It was non-negotiable until Malkala will be married off. And you sold the film. How could you? Where are the Dalad Minim? And he pointed the Dalad Minim. She took out this beautiful Esther. And she threw it on the floor. The Rebbetzin tells over this mice. She threw it on the floor. The Esther is pulsing. And the Moranayim, he puts his head down. There are tears streaming down his face. And he says in a whisper, he says, my tefillin are no longer, my dalad minim are no longer, we have no money for makala. Wouldn't the satan be pleased if I lost my temper, I got angry and ruined my shalom bias? Wouldn't the satan be pleased if I went into yontif in that state? I won't give the satan that pleasure. And he held his tongue, and he had his shalom bias, and he had unbelievable restraint. And when Rebarkel heard that story, he said, that is superhuman. I can't even imagine how a person could contain themselves in that way. That's only a lifetime of avoda. That doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifetime of avoda. You know, Revolvi said people don't change the midos so much. And he was talking within the context of training chasanim for marriage. But it's not a din in marriage. It's not a din in having better benon lechaveiro and zaru chod chavreichim for getting ready for marriage. It's not a din in Eli Bacon not properly doing chinuch banim and not having a ma'orei nai moment. That's not what it is. It's each and us, each and every one of us, bashir husham, to work on ourselves and to develop, because that's who we need to be. Hisaru b'chol chavreichim should be part of our essence and part of our being. There are two amazing gemaras. One gemara is a sota on daf yudal. The gemara it talks about the mitzvah of halachta b'dracha. So the Gemara says, you have to walk off after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara asks the Shaila, how is it possible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an all-consuming fire. You can't walk after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Gemara, you're right, it's talking about walking after the midos of Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu malbish harumin, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes those who need clothes, so too you should. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakir cholim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does bikir cholim, and he does tvuras ameis, and he does nichum aveilim, you need to do those same activities. That's acharei Hashem Elokeichem teileichu. And the Gemara in Shabbos says it slightly differently. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lama Gimel says, Darshaning of the Pasuk Abba Shol says, Zeh keili vanveyu. Anveyu means we should be do melo, we need to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum v'chanon, avatar rachum v'chanon. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful and gracious, so too we need to be merciful, kind, and gracious. What's the difference between those two Gemaras? The Gemara in Sota focuses on actions, things we need to do. The Gemara in Shabbos focuses on who we are in our essence, to be a rachum, to be a chanon. Right? We can't do deeds perfunctorily. Right? We can't just give. You have to be, internalize it. And you can't just have it internalized and be like a bleeding heart person that feels bad for everybody and does nothing about it. You have to do something. The two go hand in hand. They're inseparable. That's who we need to be. That's Achar Hashem Elokeichem Teileichu. And our gedolim, through action and deed, they guide us along this way of perfecting these kind of midos. Rav Nissim Alpert told over at a hesped that he gave for Rav Moshe. He said that once his Rebbe, Rav Moshe, a bacher came up to him and invited him to his wedding. The bacher invited him to his wedding, and Rav Moshe turned to him and said, you know, I apologize so greatly, but I don't remember, when were you in my shir? Like, I just, remind me again. He felt really bad. And the bacher admitted, I was never in the Rosh Yeshiva's shir. And in fact, the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't know me. So Rav Moshe was curious, so what do I owe the honor of this beautiful invitation? And the man said, the bacher said to Rav Moshe, he said, well, you know, listen, I'm an Ashkenazi bacher, and I'm marrying a Sephardi, and I'm just nervous that the shailas are going to come up, halachic issues are going to come up, and I'm just nervous it's not going to go so smoothly, and I know if the Rosh Yeshiva was there, it'll be taken care of, be okay. So what do you think Rav Moshe did? Rav Moshe is the Gadol Hador. He has the weight of Klal Yisrael literally on his shoulders. He has Shuvos to write. He has Talmidim Menim that do know him, and that he knows them. He has his own learning to keep up with. He has no time. What do you think he does? He goes. Why does he go? Because if it's going to make this bacher feel better at his wedding day and put him at ease, then Rav Moshe goes. To be so sensitive. And so natural, it just comes out of their being. It's just who they are. It's natural because they worked on themselves. An unbelievable story about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. A father comes running to Shlomo Zalman, all in distraught. And he tells Shlomo Zalman, he says, the whole year I've been teaching my son a haftorah for his bar mitzvah, and he's been cracking his head and literally breaking his teeth over it. And finally he got it, and I just realized the bar mitzvah is 2 weeks away, and it's one of those special Shabbosos. Right, where the Haftorah is a separate, alternate Haftorah, and I didn't realize. We did the wrong one. What are we going to do? My son has no possibility of learning a new Haftorah at this point. Shlomo Zalman thought about it for a little bit, and he said, I paskin that he can do the Haftorah he learned. And the father is ecstatic, he's elated, and he says to the Rav, he says, but when we get to shul and we start doing the wrong Haftorah, you know, it's going to cause like quite a stir. So Shlomo Zalman says, don't worry, you can announce in my name that Shlomo Zalman paskins that this boy can read this Haftorah, and it's fine. And that should take care of the problem. The father's ecstatic, he couldn't ask for anything more. Shabbos comes, he comes to shul with his young boy, and who's there bright and early in shul, sitting in the front row? Shlomo Zalman. What's he doing in shul? He doesn't go to that shul. And the father runs up to the Rav and he says, what do we owe the honor of the Rav being here? Right? And Shlomo Zalman answered, he said, you know what? It's a special day for your son. And I was worried about maybe someone would say something, be hurtful, cause a tumult. I figured if I come here, it'll keep things under control. That's the sensitivity of someone who's so natural, who builds it into their psyche so that they're thinking three steps ahead. You know, for me, I would have said, Shine, I took care of the problem. You can pass it in my name. It's all taken care of. No one's going to cause any issue. And I'm an old man. It's hard for me to walk that far to a shul that I don't go to. I have my Malcolm Kavu one. I'm not feeling well. I have a million excuses not to go. There's no issue. What's the issue? But they go. Because maybe it'll make this bar mitzvah boy a little bit better. So he goes. This does not come without work. This is amelus. This is musr. This is working on yourselves. Rabbi, I think we do have some work to do. You know, I once went into the bathroom on the third floor of Gluck. I went to the bathroom just to wash my hands. And I went up to the sink, and inside the sink, it was covered in, like, I assume, facial beard hair. And my initial reaction was, oh, that's gross, and poor guy who has to clean that up. And I'm sure no one did that maliciously. They just, it was convenient, they shaved their, take care of it, what's the big deal? And so what? So I said, oh, gross, what's the big deal? I'll tell you the big deal. It's a Gemara, in Chagiyah, Da'at Heyman Aleph. Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Kimot Lahai Kra, Bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan got to the following pasuk, he cried. Rabbi Yochanan was a fairly tough guy. He grew up as a Yasom. He lost 10 children in his life. He was a tough guy, right? But he cried when he got to this pasuk. Pasuk Koelas, Ki Kol, Es Kol Mat Elokim Yavi B'Mishpat. All our deeds, Hashem, will take to task in a Mishpat. Al Kol Nela, even things that are hidden, says the Gemara, even things that are hidden from us, even a shogeg that we're not aware of, will be responsible for. But the most astounding piece of this Gemara is what's an example of a Kol Nela? What does the Gemara say the shogeg is that we'll be held responsible for? Amarab says, Ze'ahode kina b'fnei chaveiro v'nimas. It's someone who squishes a louse in front of his friend, and his friend goes, ugh, that's gross. Might have all had that experience when you know, the little mosquito is biting you, and you slap it, and a squirt of blood comes out, and you're like, ugh, that's so disgusting. So big deal. So someone found that disgusting. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold you responsible for that because you grossed out your friend. Big deal. Rav Yaakov Zeta Smith, he explains, you know why it's such a big deal? I'll tell you why it's a big deal. Because it's the pasuk in the Rashi that Rav Moshe Tzvi spoke about last week when the Kohen shuffling up the Mizbeach so that there shouldn't even be a perceived gilui erva to the stones of the Mizbeach. So see what says Rashi. V'aridvon kal v'chomer. It's a kavachor ma'avonim halolo shem b'hem das la'hakbir abizyonam amrun toro ho v'yesh v'hem tzorech lo tinag b'hem minag bizayon. Right? Stones have no awareness of their own sense of busha, but they have a very holy purpose. And therefore, we can't be noheg with those stones in a way that's shameful, disgraceful, that's a bizayon to the stones. So chavercha, your friend, shu b'dmos yotzrecha, who's created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzelem Elokim, u'machbid al bizyono, and he has feelings. He gets hurt. He feels shame. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so. How sensitive and careful and delicate we need to be with everybody around us. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. If we realize every day that we're surrounded by Tzelem Elokim, how careful would we be? How careful? It's a beautiful line in Rav Pam. Rav Pam says, Yesh neshama shemesugeres v'socha guf. You have a holy neshama, but it's enclosed inside a guf. V'asuk orach b'tzorcheh v'inyona shayachim la. And it's only involved with and worried about itself. That's one type of person. V'yesh neshama yidla, but there's a very lofty soul. V'amakif neshamas harbe. That's able to embrace so many more neshamas. And it's able to rise above its own self-centered, egocentric life and embrace neshamos around them. Lahamtik, to sweeten someone else's life, to benefit someone else's life. Kol ish v'isha, every single individual, every person, what works for them. One person is not like another. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful thought. I'd like to conclude with this following story since it's running a little bit late. But I heard from my uncle about Rav Moshe Shapiro. There was a man he was very close to. And this man used to drive Moshe Shapiro around. And he would do his things, or Moshe would do his things, and they would meet up later. Once he drove Moshe to the Kotel for a late mincha. And he decided this man, instead of doing his own thing, he was going to just observe Rav Moshe, be inspired by his hanagos. And he watched Rav Moshe daven at the mincha. Rav Moshe was involved in a very, very long Shmon Esrei. Far outpaced his own minyan. And another minyan coalesced right afterwards. And for whatever reason, a young boy clearly got up at this minyan. And he had no idea what he was doing. He just completely bombed leading this minyan. To the extent that, for better or for worse, right or wrong, someone replaced him. They just like took him out in the middle of davening and just took over for him. And Rav Moshe is still davening, absorbed in the higher olamos in his davening. And his davening, that minyan finishes, Rav Moshe is still davening. Eventually he finishes up mincha. And Rav Moshe clearly looks around and he spots a little boy off to the side who's got his head down and is a little bit hurt. And he walks up to the boy and he sits down next to him. You can picture of Moshe, a long white beard. He's a person whose head's in the Olamos. And he sits down next to the boy and he puts his arm around him. And he strokes his cheek. And he says, Tidalacha, you should know, Ani Rav Gadol, Ani Rav Gadol Ma'od, I'm a very chashuv rabbi. You should know. And I tell you, I promise you, your tefillos were heard in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the sweetness of your tefillos. And he stroked his cheek, and he spoke to the heart of this boy. Every person, on their level, what they could use and what they can eat. It's the sensitivity that we want to train ourselves to have, that should flow so naturally from our beings. The Sas Emes says that this is the month of Adar, and that we were Nigalu. Why? We were Nigalu because of Leich Knosis Kol Ha'idum, the Knisas HaYehudim, us coming together as a nation, the Haftal Riacha Kamocha, that was the reason for the Geula. And it's because of that we're Mesakim, Matanos, Levyonim, Mishloach Manos, the Haftal Riacha Kamocha, to give to each other, to benefit each other, to be kind to each other. That's the Avoda of a Chodesh Adar. And Mirtz Hashem, if we work on that, if we work on this idea of to be misrome, mitocha anochius, to overcome our self-centered realities and be a little bit sweet in the lives of kol ish v'isha, will be zochet yeshuos and geulos in our times.